You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yep. Yep. Whenever it's ready. Is it playing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can't hear it. Oh, there we go.
Hey, everyone. Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils. And you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils.
Guys, what are we doing?
Right?
Like, seriously, what are we doing?
Just changing things up for a little bit.
This is, so, okay, we're the Uncle Puckers, and we just finished watching the Devils dominate the Winnipeg Jets, the first place Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, we also didn't even speak about the game where we just completely whooped up on the Pittsburgh Penguins. So this is two in a row. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin, but this is so fun and so frustrating all at the same time.
Yes.
That's all I have to say. Yeah. This is just infuriating right now. Jake Allen a week earlier, dude. That's the minimum you had to fucking do. But yeah, give me your thoughts, guys.
Yeah, I mean, they've been a pleasure to watch the last few games. Living up to the potential that we believed in all year, that, you know, made us think we were crazy at times. Like, where is this potential? You know, you'd see them play a good game and then a couple bad games. And there's just a couple performances they put together makes you think that, hey, you know what? They could do something, you know, crazy here and run the rest of the games, close to running the rest of the games, and maybe make their way into the playoffs. And if they did, how exciting would that be? So, as long as we can mathematically dream and they're playing well, you might as well enjoy it for the ride, because I get the whole frustration thing too. Because
can I just
already
interrupt real quick?
You're just like, whoa.
I just need to interrupt. I'm sorry, but the Hurricanes just beat the Flyers in overtime, so we collected 1 point on
Better
the Flyers tonight.
Okay.
All right. So I'm sorry, Dan.
Just there's that. That. You know, and whatever the race shakes out to be, it's really beyond anybody's control at this point. I do like what the Devils are doing now, and if they finish out the season and don't make it, it's really going to, you know, both piss us off, but it will also, you know, let every Devils fan know that, yeah, this is what you've been waiting for all year, and it's a shame that it took so long to come out, but I think that, you know, this was a growth process that kind of, to some extent, had to happen. The late moves by the front office didn't help. And so whatever, you know, I'm just enjoying it for what we got right now. Stellar goaltending, everybody pitching in. What a strong game from every single guy on that ice. It was a pleasure to watch.
Yeah. I mean, nobody took a shift off. It was Jesper Bratt. The last two games have been skating his ass off.
Yep.
Can't find the back of the net, but that'll come. Jack just showing up tonight. Nico showing up tonight. Timo, you know, showing up tonight, which we have to talk a little bit about him and the nickname that I think that Sal's going to try and give him now. This is really bad. I don't know if you guys stayed for like the 5-10 seconds after the final whistle.
No, I missed that. What is Sal calling him now?
Okay. Well, we know that McLeod is persona non grata on this show, but we all remember Motor Mike, the terrible nickname.
That was a bad nickname.
That Sal tried to get to stick. Well, apparently, Timo now is Mr. March Madness. He referred to him as Mr. March Madness.
Well, can we just stop this now? He has the greatest picks on his March Madness. He's talking about his basketball picks, right? It's college basketball?
Well, that's what he's. Yeah, he's the March Madness Timo, Mr. March.
The good news is we only have to deal with that for 10 days.
November. Now we have Mr. March Madness.
10 days, and that's gone.
So, yeah,
I really hope it's gone now.
That's bad.
Sal's got a lot of qualities. That's not making up names is not one of them.
Bobby, how do you 3 games ago look like the worst team in the NHL and lose to the Phoenix Coyotes, and then these last 2 games look like the Devils that we all were waiting for the entirety of this season? How's this happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, let's call this what it was, right? The broadcast was saying it. Everyone's saying it. This is legit their best game of the year.
No doubt.
To come out, they just played solid all around. They adjusted to the game in front of them. They didn't, you know, just do what maybe their game plan was, whatever. They were just adjusting all over the place. They had snarl. They had grit. They destroyed the special teams battle, right? 3 mm-hmm. power play goals, 4 penalty kills. You know, I think it kind of epitomizes the season. And it's not all on Jake Allen. It goes to show you how a timely save at the right time, what that can do for a full game, right? This was a team effort, no doubt about it.
Timely save again, the first goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first goal is so important.
It is huge. And I think this was only our 9th time. I think I wrote that down, at least because we were 6-1-1.
Is that right?
So that means
9th time?
This would be our 9th time.
That's
I hope I didn't get that wrong, but that would be very depressing. But what I thought was awesome about this is there was 3:36 left in the third period when Jake Allen made a terrific save coming across the crease, mm-hmm. right as Dano was talking about how a timely save anywhere in the game can basically put this – now that – game would have still, you know, it wouldn't have been a tying goal or anything like that. But he was alluding to earlier saves, and then on key, Allen just slides across, robs. It was beautiful. I just thought that was so funny that with 3 minutes left, he still had that kind of, you know, focus. Make sure that doesn't go in. We don't want this to be a 3-2 game now where they're going to pull the goalie and make it, you know, a stressful situation. So huge save that might go kind of unnoticed. In the long
very
run,
very disciplined too. The team was very disciplined about not getting out of position. You know, they didn't let him have too many odd man rushes. You could blame one at the end of a very long time in the zone that they ended up, you know, basically letting a breakaway walk in was the only goal for
that
Winnipeg.
Was the goal, yeah.
And that was the only time I could think of that they really let odd man chances come in. That's very significant.
I mean, on both ends, even there when, you know, they've been getting pinned all year in their defensive zone. They can't get the puck out. They did the one time they ended up scoring, but that was pretty much the only time where they were hemmed in. They were able to forecheck tonight and get the puck out. Mm-hmm. They were using their speed and they were getting the puck off their stick fast. And they, you know, too many times this year, they're dilly-dallying around behind the net and they're not making the quick decisions. And, you know, the defensive mindset seems to have completely shifted these last 2 games.
Yeah. And offensive cycling, you know, that.
And the power play.
A lot.
Yep, movement absolutely. On the power play.
Shooting.
Like shooting and movement. These guys are cycling all over the place. You don't even know, you know, they're not staying in the same spot like they were all year. They're moving around. They're making it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, on the power play, they got the forwards moving. They got a shot from the point anytime it's even close to being there, which I love that strategy.
Just 5 power play goals in the last 2 games. Like, that's what you should have been doing all year.
And, you know, like, it's interesting because outside of Jack having un-Jack-like spurts, and I still believe it was mostly because he was hurt or recovering – if you look at
recovering from Lindy getting fired, was that it?
Yeah, just
maybe
he finally, shoulder pain.
Has he come to acceptance now and he's just ready to play hockey?
Maybe that's it, right?
Yes. Hopefully that's it.
He's clear. His conscience is clear and he's ready to go out and play hockey. But when you look at two players in particular that have really kind of turned around. Timo's the obvious one, right? Without a doubt.
No.
11 goals in 11 games.
Mr. March Madness.
March Madness. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. But the other guy I mentioned at the last show who's getting a little bit of swagger, and Kenny used the same word today, Dawson Mercer.
Dude,
got these two guys
great
going
game today.
That weren't going at all year,
nope.
And we're getting results.
Great game today. Skating
Fantastic.
His ass off. You know, he was always on the – he was just hounding the puck. I mean, that's what you want.
You know it's a good
Mercer.
Game, too, when you don't have to say, like, wow, Curtis Lazar worked so hard. Because he did. But why was he, like, the only guy? doing that.
That's right.
And it didn't stand out as the only work hard and got, you know, guy working hard on the team.
I seriously, out of these two games, like this game, the only, I have one complaint. I mean, well, really two. McDermott, you have to just relax with the penalties. Yes. He got on the ice right before, I'm saying it was maybe about 3 seconds before he took that penalty. And I'm talking to my wife and I'm like, all right, buddy, just don't take a fucking penalty. And seriously, 3 seconds later, he's in the box. And he cannot be doing that every time he's on the ice. And the other thing that you got to clean up is Brendan Smith got a little ahead of himself with that cross check to the face. Like, that's a late penalty.
That could have hurt.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Devils of any other time this year, other than tonight for some reason, it would have hurt. But tonight, it was like watching last year.
I definitely think the goaltending has helped given the team confidence to better defense. I mean, one way you would look at it and go, shouldn't they play better defense when they don't have confidence in their goalie? Well, it doesn't work like that. You know, they're having confidence in their goalie for whatever reason is really helping out their team defense too.
And, you know, I think I fell into, you know, probably what a lot of people do when it comes to goaltending, kind of like, you know, it doesn't matter if they can play, you just kind of throw them in without it really putting into consideration, like, what a veteran goaltender like Jake Allen can also bring to the team other than just being, you know, a guy in there to stop the pucks. Like, he's been there. Yep. He's done everything. When it comes to this team, he's probably the most experienced player.
A very calming influence. Yes. A very important position.
And, you know, and I'm sure in the back of his head, I'm sure his foremost focus is just going out there, playing the best he can and helping this team any way he can. But I'm sure somewhere in the back of his head, he's thinking, if I can bring this team to the playoffs and I can have one last big run as a number one, like, how would that be for this team?
We talked a lot about resets. We mentioned it for the All-Star break. Sometimes you just need the end of the year. Sometimes you just need to stop and start again. Jake came out and basically said it. He's like, I feel rejuvenated coming. It's before he even played a game.
Yeah.
Coming to this team. He's like, there's something about it. Like, he's doing exactly what you're saying. He wants to take this opportunity and say, maybe we can get this miracle done.
Man, it would be a miracle, though, wouldn't it?
Well, it's going to take just about a miracle.
It will.
Yeah. But, man, I mean, the Flyers have a tough schedule coming up. Their next three are against, I think, Boston, Panthers, Rangers. They did just play Carolina really good, but maybe they can drop two of those, you know, one of those at least.
We have those teams ahead in our schedule again, too. So,
yeah, I look at, like, the way we played tonight. If they can seriously string this together.
Well, that's the big question.
Then they're one of the best teams in the league. That's what we were expecting all year. And three games ago, seriously, we were dissecting this team down to its core. Like, what is wrong with this freaking team? And then they go out, they play. Maybe that game in Vegas was like, that was the model. Maybe that was the blueprint, right? We were playing hard, but you got goal lead. You couldn't really get anything behind them, but you still played a good game, carried over into Pittsburgh, where you just put up 5 goals. It's going to make any team confident. And today, man, what a freaking game.
What's impressive about today and lately, and like you said, even going back to that Vegas game for the loss and stuff, every part of the game was better today. It wasn't like, okay, today we got our power play going and now we're still working. Like, power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, adjusting, hard on the boards, and being creative. Like, it was all there. Like you said, it felt like last year. It just felt like a team that could take any of the best teams and just push them to the side.
All four of our lines tonight, even the little bit of ice time that fourth line got, but I thought all four of our lines tonight contributed and played really, really good. And if you can have that where, you know you're going to get your timely goals here and there from the Mercers and Palats and Hollas, and then Jack, Nico, and Timo tonight. Like, that was our core tonight. They beat the best team, one of the best teams in the league, and that was our core just doing it all.
I can't express enough how much I love watching this version of Timo Meier. The power forward that he's supposed to be, just hard on the boards, hard on everybody, just making things happen, like that reverse check that kind of led to the penalty. Like, I mean, this is everything we wanted to see from this guy.
And you know, it does make
you
wonder,
for a full year,
you know, what exactly was holding him back all this time? It definitely seems fairly coincidental with Lindy going, but what was it exactly that Lindy was doing? How was he using him that just was not working to get Timo to play the level we've seen him play at these last few games, this last month?
I think a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the dressing room, but from what you can see, like, and you know, we can go back to the Pittsburgh game. We'll talk about Alex Holtz for a second because I think it has a lot to do with guys like Timo Meier too. Like, Lindy Ruff, I don't think really, I think Lindy Ruff like had in his head like how he expected everybody to play in the spots he put them, regardless of whether or not it was the right spots. I think that was a big part of it. But I just think there was some disconnect. These guys didn't like to play for Lindy. We didn't see a game like this all year. And I know it, you know, a lot of, there are a few different faces and stuff, but for some reason, I don't know what the difference is, man.
We had a couple other games where we said it was their best game of the year, but in retrospect to this point,
we said that about a game they lost.
Yeah, this, you know, was definitely their best. I think it's probably a combination of things. I think it's part of what you said. And one of the things we've been saying all year is for some of these athletes, if they don't clearly understand their role, here's a guy who's been a top performer at every level of his professional and non-professional hockey career. And now you're, okay, you'll put me on a third line for a game because we're matching or doing whatever. But when you're kind of constantly there and then your own personal results aren't coming around
you
and then you're still not getting,
yeah,
and then you're not getting another opportunity to step it up. You're not getting thrown on the first power play. Like, I don't know, part of it's got to be mental. Like you said, I'm not in the room either. That's just, that was what I was on the soapbox all year saying. You're misusing Timo Meier. Like, bottom line, whatever it is, whatever you have to do to get your $9 million a year player going, you do it. That's your job.
Yeah, Lindy just, seemed to just not like his game, not like anything about it. Would, Lindy was very, it seems very rough on everybody about mistakes. And I think that that, instead of kind of like you saw it with the Pittsburgh game, I texted you guys the first period of that game saying, Alex Holt's having a tough game, man. He's, you know, and then third period, it was prevalent. They were talking about it. He made that bad pass, which thank goodness Jake Allen made that save because I don't think any of our other goalies make that save. Any other game without Allen, that's in the back of the net. But the point is, you know, does Lindy Ruff bench him right after that when he makes that mistake? Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, I would say he does.
And he definitely isn't up on the one of the top six with Jack. As you know, this is how you get, okay, you're going to make some defensive mistakes. Every young player does. And they talked about it ad nauseum in the broadcast, but Lindy wasn't doing that, where he wasn't giving these guys just another shot to go out there and make up for it. They were being punished constantly.
Let's dissect that just a little bit more, because earlier in his tenure with the Devils, it's exactly what Lindy would do. He would allow for the mistakes because we had a very young team and everything was getting better. So at what point did the expectations play into Lindy's mind where it started really giving him anxiety and he maybe overcoached? He kind of left from what he used to do. He kind of used to be that guy who said, all right, I'm going to slap you in the back. You're going to go back out.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't do it with Holt. So was it the pressure? Was it a change in his mindset? Did he really just not like Holtz? Like, I really would love to know.
Was he going senile? I don't know. These are all valid questions. I have no idea what Lindy, I mean, it's so, thinking about the potential that is on this team, and you saw it in full bloom tonight, and when you think about how Tom Fitzgerald completely fucked up the trade deadline and how Lindy Ruff just refused to try anything to make this team any better, how many times on this show did we say, if you don't make any changes, you're going to keep losing games? And then when they finally made the changes, they turn into, you know, I know it's only two games. I get it. They can go and get their asses kicked by the Islanders. But it kind of feels like they're not going to, right?
It does kind of feel that way. And we've been optimistic before. But it's structure of play that's leading us to say this now. And again, it's the improvements in all the zones that you just, you can't feel like they're going to forget this tomorrow and lay an egg on Saturday. Like, it just doesn't feel that way.
I said the Islanders. I meant the Senators Saturday. Senators, right. So what do you guys think with goaltending? Dan, who do you, you know, you got the Senators and the Islanders back-to-back. Kakkonen has not played well. But we know he can. And if you give him, I think, a defensive effort like this, I think he can do pretty well. But
I thought he was pretty good in his first effort with the Devils. You know?
Yeah, so what,
he was left alone a little bit on that loss, too. I mean,
a lot of
wide open slot shots. I know the goalie's got to make the saves. We've been saying that all year, but it wasn't a perfect game by the team.
I think I maybe play Kakkonen against the Senators.
That's what I'm thinking. And, you know, you save for the, you know, divisional game. I mean, yeah, exactly. Save Allen for the Islanders.
It
and
makes
just, you know,
sense. The only other thought process is, super hot, get a win where you can get a win, which would be Allen Saturday. But it does make sense to rest him. He hasn't played a lot. That was why he got rested the last time, right? So Yeah, save him for the Islanders, and hopefully it still means something. I refuse to look at the standings. If we win the next two and make it four in a row, I'll take a brief look.
Yeah, I almost don't even – I mean, well, anybody who wants to do the math on this and go for it, you know, I don't hold anything against you. But I'm just like, at this point, I look at the season going, I'm just watching and enjoying what we got because, you know, I know it's still like a single digit.
I say that, yet after every win, I'm looking because it's like, okay, you know, when we lose, I'm just like, forget it. I don't care. But after every win, I'm getting into the chase.
So here's the thing. I know how many points back we are, quote unquote. What I'm not dialing in on is the fact that, like, what I glanced at today and saw the Islanders have two less games played than us. So the math seems easy. But then when you look at the leapfrogging of the teams who have played less, then I don't get into all that right now.
What do you think is the easiest path, though? I mean,
win all your games.
Win out?
No. I mean, a wild card. Is it still the Flyers like we talked about? Like, what do you think is our best chance?
You're
to
making
get
me
in.
Look now. Now I'll look.
And this will be the last time we talk about the standings until the last game of the season or until we're in a playoff spot.
No, I get it. If we get close, if we string like 5-6 more wins together, you're going to be looking. Everyone's going to be looking. Not even that many. It's now I just feel like I'm not even going to bother.
You know, but it is what.
I'm just, you know, now that I am looking, it's just really pissing me off because I'm looking. We've played 70 games, so have the Flyers. They have 35 wins. We have 34. Mm-hmm. We're only one win less, and they're 7 points up on us with all those extra charity points and the overtime losses. Damn it.
Yeah.
I have to say something. I honestly think that we need to get rid of this loser point. Like, I don't even care if you went with 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for a 3-on-3 win, and one or 2 points for that, and 1 point for a shootout win. Like, I'd be fine with that. As long as if you lost that game, you don't get shit. You should not get diddly squat for losing a game.
I mean, we would be far above the Islanders.
No more participation
15
points.
Overtime loss points.
Right.
Yeah, well, the whole logic was that teams would not play for the win if they had a tie. And they didn't want to, you know, drop that point. And, you know, so if you give them that, you know, you don't win the game, you don't get the point. I don't know. Is it going to make it that much? I was never a big fan of the rule to begin with. I didn't think it really was going to change the way teams played too much.
I have very fond memories of overtime in the 90s when it was just win or lose. You know what I mean? Like, I don't recall that being a problem.
I mean, I just think a participation point is bullshit with guys that get paid millions of dollars to play a game. It's not like little kids out there and they should get it. You shouldn't get a point because you played hard for 60 minutes. I'm sorry. Take it away.
Yeah. Let's imagine the devil's advocate point of view here. 3-on-3, if you got, you know, good puck handlers, but the coach tells them, look, we're getting through this with a point, and that's all there is to it. So do not go in the offensive zone. Just play three corners, you know, and just pass the puck around. That makes it really boring overtime. And that was
why would they do that?
No, I get you.
They already have the point. That's what they say at the end of the third period.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's what they do now.
Right.
You know?
But like, let's say we take that point away. You know,
but yeah,
like
now they have to actually play if they want to get 2 points. If you do it the way I just said it, which of course is probably never happened. But
yeah, exactly. I like doing away with that, and then I still go back to make it a 10-minute overtime.
That's fine.
Because what I don't like, too, is like 2 points or 0 points based on the shootout now.
Yeah,
that makes the shootout even dumber, even more annoying when you go the distance and lose on a shootout. It's like, ugh.
Well,
you know?
Then, you know, whatever you do with the overtime, I mean, 10 minutes, you are still going to have games where a goal is not scored. You are still going to have games where goalies are just going to be on top of their shit. And so what do you do after that? If you want to just eliminate a shootout, what do you do after 10 minutes?
Go back to an actual tie.
Okay, so how do you do it then? It's 2 points for a win, and then if it's a tie after a 10-minute overtime, and 2 points go to an overtime winner, or do you not do a point to each team?
I would go back to the old way. Yeah, you
so,
win
so
in overtime.
No points
you get
are
two.
Awarded after regulation. You go into overtime and you're playing for 2 points. If through a 10-minute overtime nobody scores, each team gets a point.
That's what I would do.
I could live with
it. I love that, especially the 10-minute overtime because that's literally
it
only
never
gonna take
about
six more.
It
minutes.
Never bothered me, but they're gonna complain that people don't want to watch you know, 2.5 hours of a game and then a tie. That's what the NHL is concerned with.
I don't know. You give me 10 minutes of 3-on-3 overtime. I don't think I'm complaining that it was a tie.
I don't know who's complaining about ties.
NHL was, you know, that was their whole thing. Well, yeah, thing, but they had way
more ties than they would have now because it was 5-on-5 back then. For 5 minutes, you're doing 3-on-3 for 10 minutes.
100%. I agree.
It would
with
be
that.
Point, you know, below, you know, a below 1% of games would end in a shootout or a tie.
I'd probably go more like at least 75% would end.
Or if you want to go crazy with it too, you say you got 3-on-3. And you're only allowed three players, or maybe for the first 5 minutes, three have to play, and then you got your next three. And only in case of an injury can you swap them out. Which
you
means
gotta
you
keep
know
the same three.
Now
players.
You get really tired.
It's you're gonna get scoring. Yeah,
I like that.
I mean, it's kind of interesting because in a way you kind of like you get to pick your favorite players like you do in a shootout.
The XHL.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I would like that better than going to a shootout decision, you know, is that, you know, make the 3-on-3 a little bit more assured that you're going to get a goal. And then make it 10 minutes, make it, you got 5 minutes at the first three, 5 minutes for the second three.
How about overtime with the lights off in the stadium, a glow in the dark puck and the glow in the dark nets?
I like it. We
That'd
should try
be
it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Just get, what's his name from Total Recall?
Oh, you know what they should do? They should do what they do in the kids' league.
That's not
to get more touches. You can just clip the ice.
Running man. Running
man. Wait, what, Bobby? I'm sorry. We're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I don't blame you. He's awesome. Flip the ice. You go half ice instead. Just 3-on-3 the other way. So just right center ice. Put the goalie nets on the boards that way.
Push the goalie net all the way up.
Yeah, you know, just this tight little space, and you'll get scoring real quick.
No, you wouldn't. That would be terrible.
The bigger the ice actually favors us.
Yeah, I know, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, how come they don't move the benches to opposite sides? Like, why are the benches? They should be facing each other.
What? You mean the other sides of the rink?
Yeah, opposite sides of the rink. Like, why don't they switch it
why
up?
Why do you want them facing
I don't know,
each other?
I kind of like the
I don't like them next to each other.
Right there.
You don't like them next to each other?
No. I want to be on the opposite side.
Don't you like when they lean over and start yelling at each other?
That's fun. But now Bryce is there, so I'm afraid he's going to get punched.
I'm hoping.
I don't know. I mean, because the reason, you know why they have it that way, right? It's just because of old TV. They only had like the one camera, so they had to show both benches. So that's why the benches are like that. So I'm just saying it takes away that second, you know, if you're home, that long change.
And here I thought that was actually part of the game, the design of the benches, so that the changes
they
would
never
be
show you that TV angle from the opposite side. You never, there's no, they didn't put
I don't even
there.
Sit on that side, let it be known. I sit at the arena. I want to see the Devil's emblem facing me.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
I think about how the experience would be so different if there were cameras on the other side, because there'd have to be to show the other bench. It'd be insane, Bob. Your mind
would be way too much cameras. Then they'll be zooming around and drones would be fucking annoying.
A few years, you'll be going there with your Google glasses and you get the logo whatever way you want.
Now, it's like when football breaks to that camera on the cable or whatever, and they just start zooming it all around. That's extremely annoying.
See,
what's next? Blue glowing pucks? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I don't know. The old school kids probably aren't going to remember the glowing pucks.
Fox track.
For that Fox track. Oh.
That was during, what, an all-star game in, what, 1994, maybe?
I was definitely up in Providence, so that's when it started.
Didn't they
it
do some shit in the playoffs,
year or two.
Too?
Yeah, they did a whole year. Like
it was only on Fox, though. It was only the Fox game.
It was the Fox tracks.
Right? Yeah, okay. That's what it was called, the Fox track?
Yeah.
And it was what?
That blue line would trail so long, you wouldn't be able to follow the play because your eyes would still be at the beginning of the trail.
And it would stay there. Yeah. It would stay on your screen. And what was it supposed to be like if a slap shot was over, like, 50 miles an hour.
They made up shit.
They made it up because they would do it on passes. There'd be a fucking tail, comet tail, and whatever.
Right.
It was really the worst idea.
It's supposed to help you follow the game because the logic was that the average person couldn't actually follow that small puck on a small TV going from player to player.
Oh, yeah.
So they give you the trail lines. Thank God now everybody's got like 54 inch TVs or whatever. But not true. I was able to follow the puck way better before the light show.
I have to say, though, I remember the first game I ever watched in HD. I was blown away. Oh, I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Because I had that big TV and I had my apartment and it was an HD TV, but there was like no HD channels available. And I remember when MSG finally put out of the age. And I sat, I had a big old chair in my living room. I sat down all comfy, watched. I was blown away. I felt like I was at the game. It was like the best day of my life.
Dude, I got to tell you, when I came out here, yeah, HD was not, you know, as prevalent as it is now. But not only that, even as it did become more readily available, the package through cable, like through Comcast, was standard definition. That's for like the first 10 years I lived out here. So every now and then the Devils would get a national game and I would finally see it on HD. And like you said, I'd be blown away because I hated it otherwise. And it was all, it was Johnny who one day said he bought it like on the internet, the package on the internet. And I was like, no way, that's going to be good. You know, how slow is that going to be? It's going to break down and pause. And he's like, no, look. And he showed me and I was like, okay.
My DSL won't be able to handle it.
Oh, God.
My dial-up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we got the Ottawa Senators next. Brady Tkachuk coming to town.
Not coming to the Devils, though.
No, 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 no. I know. I just really want him on this team. But I'll tell you, like, where was – this is – it's just mind-blowing to me what they did tonight. I mean – yeah,
they were so good.
And we – you know, we texted – we were texting a little bit before this game, and I think we all kind of had a pretty good feeling about this game. You know,
I was close. I said 2-0.
Yeah. And I remember, I could see the shutout. Winnipeg does not score a lot of goals.
I said I believe they were going to play much better, but I thought they could lose this game because it is Winnipeg.
But man, I mean, this is, and this is the thing to kind of feel good about is this was one of our tougher games left.
Yes.
So, you know, our schedule, I know every game is going to be difficult, but as far as standings go, if you're looking at that, like I don't expect Ottawa to be a pushover. They're going to be a really hard game to play to win. I don't expect the Islanders to be a pushover. That's a must win. You got to put them behind you and leave them there. And that can be done on Sunday. So this is going to be fun.
Definitely.
Hope so.
We know that tonight the Devils moved pretty fast, boys and girls.
They did.
But you can score faster than anything happening at the Rock. And this week, new customers, I'm telling you now.
Sounds like college.
New customers can bet $5 and get 200 instantly in bonus bets. You know, want to know how to do it?
Sure.
Okay.
What do you think, Dan?
You got to like go put – how does it go again? Tell me.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah, that's it.
With code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get 200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNG.com/hockey for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. That's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Dan, you want to talk about Andrew Burnett?
Well, I was looking at how well he's done with Nashville. Now, I know he's there with Barry Trotz, but he has done very well, and he's getting a lot of credit for his impact on that team. And it makes you wonder, like, what was Fitzgerald thinking? Now that we see, like, that extra year for Lindy was really not the right move. I mean, that's just that you can say that for as a fact right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know. Remember, let's go back 2 years. We were looking at Lindy going, I don't know if you're the guy for this team. Okay. Not last year, before last year, as last year began.
Yeah.
We were comforted by the move that he made in getting Burnett. And then, you know, it was just kind of thought like, okay, he's going to be taking over the reins. Devils had a good year. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, they know what they're doing with why they brought this guy on, but apparently, you know, they didn't have any long-term plans for him. They signed Lindy and they let him walk. And, you know, it just looking at back on that move now, it's not looking good for Fitzgerald. I think that was a big reason we could point to our season not going the way it did last year is the lack of Andrew Burnett on this team.
It's kind of funny because Bobby, you just said, you know, Lindy Ruff went from one coaching style last year to a completely different coaching style this year, what happened?
Yeah.
We right. often wondered last year how much of this magic that this Devils team is doing this year is on Andrew Burnett and how much is really on Lindy Ruff. And I, Dan, you're 100% right. I think it's, you can really just look at actual evidence now and say, yes. this was Andrew Burnett last year that kind of, you know, waved the magic wand.
Lindy, without him before, was not doing that great with the Devils. He was doing okay, but not great. And then, you know, Andrew Burnett comes in. They have a fantastic year. And, gee, something seems missing this year. Oh, yeah, maybe it's Andrew Burnett. You know, I mean, so whatever. That ship has sailed. I'm not saying we're going to get him back.
That's for sure. It's there.
Yeah, it looks like it. It really does. I mean, and if I'm Fitzgerald, I'm thinking that's where I fucked up. That's really where I fucked up.
And we said it, you know, when he was – we knew he wanted to get a head coaching job. I mean, I know, Dan, you and I after last year were like, you know, now is the time to bring Bruno in. The team kind of has – they've kind of grown up. They matured. Let's get Brunette as the head coach, move on from Lindy Ruff. They give him the extension. At that time, I know you know that Andrew Burnett wants a head coaching job. Whatever you had to pay him, man, just say, give us the one more year. You know, stay around, stick around.
Was it only one? I thought the extension might have been even more than one.
Well, you're right.
Oh, no, I'm saying to Burnett. But, I'm saying I would have said to him, like, I'll pay you.
Like, meet him in the middle. And, like, we want to keep Lindy for one more year. But you're the guy. We want you. You're the future. This team's going to be around for a lot longer than 1 year. It's your team. But, you know, I could see how that would have been a better middle ground. Instead, it was like, well, fuck it. We got Lindy, and Lindy wants to sign for more years, so that's all we need. And, you know, Lindy, the age gap and everything else, I think, was filled in really nicely. I think we talked about this as a possibility. We have no way of knowing this, that he was maybe translating some of what Lindy wanted to those players, you know, and making them – being a great lieutenant for his general or whatever you want to call it, but he had a great effect. And that was missed this year, which is weird because, you know, Travis Green is now, I think, having better results, and he was not the Andrew Burnett in that equation.
Goes on, you know, did Andrew Burnett have more leash than Travis Green this year? Yeah. I don't know. You know, because it seems like Travis Green, he made a lot of tweaks right off the bat, but now they're starting to pay off. And, you know,
did he just know what to say to the players the right way, the right time, like pulls them off to the side after and talks to them? I think that, you know, with Fitzgerald, I think it's easy for us to look at it and say the blueprint was that Ruff's going to be here for a little bit of time. He's an older coach and then he'll be supplanted. But I think where that went wrong is the same thing that we've touched on this year with how Fitzgerald approached the season and the trade deadline. I think the reason that the extension went to Ruff, which again, I believe was more than a year. I think it was like at least 2 years.
Was
the same thing. I think that's the beginning of Fitzgerald being a victim of his own success. And that's why he hastily went off and gave him 2 or 3 years, kind of losing sight of maybe what the big picture, if that's what the big picture was, I don't know, but it does kind of, when you look at it now, it's kind of, all right, you went and signed Ruff to a couple extra years, and you went through this year. You kind of sat on their hands. Everything came and went. So I think that was kind of the beginning of, again, everything was going so right. So right. It felt like he had the magic touch.
Yeah.
Whatever I do is going to work out. This guy just gave us a 112-point season. He deserves – I believe he deserves to come back. For sure I did. The record-breaking season. I don't know that I would have extended him when I didn't need to. He still got another year. I would have just – maybe left it at that, but I'm not a general manager. But I think that's the beginning of what started this domino for this year for Fitzgerald. And like I said, I think he's a smart guy, and he's going to learn from his mistakes.
I hope he's going to be humbled a little bit. I'm trying to remember how I felt when Lindy got the extension. I'm almost positive I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not a giant – wasn't a giant fan of it, but totally understood it and kind of
you understood it, but I think I recall you saying at that very moment that we're going to lose Bruno now.
Yeah,
because you're like, why would you stick around?
Yeah, I think that was a mistake. What are they on, a 14-game win streak right now? 14-game win streak. I mean, he beat our 13-game win streak last year.
Yeah, he sure did. And, you know, he's tied to two. Streaks. Yeah, two winning streaks in 2 years like that. That's he's tied to that.
And then the year before when he took the Florida Panthers as an interim coach to the President's Trophy. I mean, this guy touches gold. We let him walk out the door.
It was really a shame to let him go. I mean, we put the team in Travis Green's hands, and so far, so good. I'm not knocking him at all. But even today, if you had to make the move, I think you'd be like, yeah, no, let me have that guy. Why we let him walk, I don't know. And, you know, there's more to it. I don't know. It better not be because of some DUI in Florida, knowing that he had no problem waiting for the other shoe to drop with McLeod.
Good point, especially when the DUI was in a golf cart. I mean, that's not even a real car.
It's not a real
DUI. Get him on a bike, I've heard.
Half all DUIs in Florida, though, are in
golf carts. I don't understand why you should be allowed. I thought you were like supposed to drink when you're on golf carts through gated communities.
I think he was on the highway, though. Wasn't he on an interstate? Wasn't he on I-4?
He was on I-95. He was...
Well, that's really how it happens. No, I don't know what happened there with that, but...
He went down to Florida and he got drunk and did something stupid. Raise your hand if that's happened to you.
Right?
So, all right. Well, listen, I mean, I don't know what more we can really tackle tonight. I mean, this was amazing and it was fun to watch, but, you know, let's just.
Well, what do you think the magic number is before, you know, Devils fans just start believing? What would it take from you? How many more wins do we need before you go, all right, there's a really good chance we can do this. These last five, six games are going to be exciting.
Out of the next 13, or like how many games in a row do I start? Like we're already at two in a row. If they get to six in a row, I think I'll start getting excited.
That's what I'm thinking. Because normally you should be thrilled about four in a row or even five in a row, of course. Right. But with the math that is up against us, wake me up when they got six in a row.
So to do six, we've got the two we've already done. Then we'd have to beat the Senators and the Islanders in back-to-back, Toronto Maple Leafs, and then Buffalo. And that would bring us into April. And the sixth win would have to be
Rangers,
against the Penguins, who we do very well against, before we play the Rangers.
I thought the sixth win would have been the one against before the Buffalo game, no?
That's what he's saying.
Yeah. One, two. Ottawa would be three. Yeah, Ottawa would be four. Toronto would be five.
Buffalo would be six. So the six-game win streak would be we beat Buffalo.
Right.
Yes.
And then we play Pittsburgh. So that's a seven-game win streak.
Then we got the Rangers.
And then
we have to beat. We owe them a beating.
We solidify a playoff berth by going eight in a row and beating the shit out of the Rangers.
That sounds about right.
I mean, as that game not only puts us solidly in third place, it knocks Carolina up to one and the Rangers down to second, where we will have a 2-3 matchup repeat than last year.
I would love that.
It'd be great.
That's our Cinderella story that we're hoping for at this point.
Yeah, it's a lot more than it's Cinderella, it's Rapunzel, it's Snow White, it's every other Disney princess kind of rolled into one. That's what we need. That's how much help we need.
It's in contact.
But, I mean, man, I know they're going to lose more. I just hope that they don't lose a whole lot more. Because if they play like this, man, they can make it fun. And I said it, man, out of every team before them, and I think everybody agrees, the Devils, and I thought this all year, like they're better than every team above them. They just haven't played it. Yeah. Like it's so frustrating. Like, I don't know if anybody expected Winnipeg to get – I don't know if anybody's – kicked the shit out of Winnipeg and skated them into the ground the way we did tonight. I don't watch a lot of the Jets, but with that record and how good they are, how many teams have really done that this year? I mean,
you know what I'm hopeful for as a franchise? They finally like really realized if we're not going to build around a goalie, no matter the cost, build around a goalie, then don't even bother.
Right.
Because it can torpedo your whole season, you know? Like, I honestly didn't see this coming. I thought that our team was going to be good enough to get in the playoffs, even if they had questionable goaltending. And if we got to the trade deadline and didn't improve on questionable goaltending that didn't look super hot, then we would have problems in the playoffs. It was far worse than that. They basically, the goaltending question never being answered as nearly, if not in totally, cost them from even making the playoffs.
You're 100%
right. You know, hopefully this franchise takes a new, more, you know, focused direction on getting great goaltending.
Well, you know, we talk about
you know, Markstrom and Soros and all these names, right? And all those are trades. But they did mention on this broadcast, right? Brassois is a free agent after this year.
He looks sharp.
Dude, he was that guy pretty impressive. Is a amazing goalie. And if you and he's 29, he's not young, but as in goalies, he is kind of young. And he's never been a number one. So if you're gonna get a guy like Lorraine Brassois and bring him in as a number one, what better guy to have behind him than Jake Allen?
I know.
Like that can be, and you can just sign him. You don't have to.
And I just hope that's what they're looking at doing and realizing, you know, we do have a damn good team here. We just need to get solid goaltending.
But would you be happy with Brassois?
I mean, I want to see who else is available. I get it because there's lots of guys out there, but I think I would be. I mean, he's got a lot of. I like the veteranness of having a goaltender who's been there before, too. What do you think, Bob?
I think you guys have it all wrong. I have a note on this, actually, that I'm glad you brought up. And I think that Brassois is doing just fine. So I think what they should do is the Jets should just hold on to him and just give us Hellebuck, and we'll just call it even.
Oh.
They're just going to give him to us?
Well, I mean, we'll trade. We'll give him some, you know.
All right. I like your plan, Bob. I don't know how to make it
for Brassois. We don't have to trade for him.
No. We have free agent. Proven commodity.
So, this is true. Yeah. But
they both have the same number of cups.
Yeah, this is very true. Mm. And if you're going to run Jake Allen as a backup, I think having a guy who you're going to give the keys to a really good car who has never started before, I don't think you could have a better backup. I mean, the little bit that I've seen of Jake Allen, like I'm annoyed this guy hasn't been on our team all year.
Yeah.
Just looks like a professional goalie. Forget about the fact that what he's done right now, his goals against average and all that, might not be, you know, sustainable long term. He's going to let up three eventually, but he looks like a professional goalie that actually gives you a chance to win.
Right. And that's exactly what he is.
That's it. Like it's
like that's goes, that. And if that seriously is the least that this team needed this year, then
third round pick.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, even when you were still finagling the fucking Markstrom deal, why did you not pull?
Could have run three goalie system for a month while you're figuring it out.
Just to get the guy down here, just as your plan B in case everything else goes sideways, which it did. You know, that's just a shame. What a shame. Because I really hate for this to be a lost season. Because I would love it to be a fucking playoff run. I mean,
especially when you see how good of a quality team they can be. You know?
I mean, I think that's the thing. And for the fans, like going through what we all went through this year, I mean, let's end it on a high note with a nice, good playoff run.
Yeah. Listen, you don't want to look too far ahead, right? But when you really do look at the end of the schedule and you see two teams sitting there and it's the Flyers and the Islanders, like you got to start using your imagination. Like, holy shit, if we could pull this off up until that point, if that game against the Flyers means like we leapfrog them for third division, I mean, how awesome is that? That's like a playoff game in itself.
Absolutely. Before we wrap it up, I do want to give a shout out. We got a message from a listener, and her Twitter handle is at NJ Dezels with a Z. So NJDEZILS. The Dezels. So she has won the Upper Deck. Every year they hold a annual NHL Most Enthusiastic Fan Award, and she won the individual team round, and now she represents the New Jersey Devils against the rest of the league. And it's all by voting. So you can go to upperdeck.com and look for the NHL fan and vote for NJ Dezels. And you can find her on her Twitter handle. She has all that information. So a shout out to her. Thank you so much for listening.
Good luck.
And
keep her shtick? What does she do? Like, you know how like there was the, you know, we had, what's his name? Used to just call out the letters, right?
Yeah. I saw her. This was just today, so I didn't really get a chance to.
Was she like big in signs? She makes signs, maybe?
She has this big thing here, like a big little blurb about when she was at the stadium series and all kinds of stuff. So she's a huge fan, and she's, you know, representing the Devils. So we all got to look out for each other. So
she needs an Uncle Pucker sticker or to put on one of her signs or something.
Yeah,
we got to get her
sticker will work. So, Des, if you want, just the address. You know, throw us your address and we will send you an Uncle Pucker sticker. But good luck and keep us posted on how this works. You know, and
we
will
definitely go on and vote for her.
Yeah, right? Well, we'll definitely go on and vote. You have to go to Upper Deck to vote. I think they used to be able to do it on Twitter or whatever, but now you actually have to go to the Upper Deck site, and you guys can find that information. Vote for Dez for the New Jersey Devils. And we're going to wrap it up. We'll be back probably Sunday, so we will have two more games to talk about. Nice. Hopefully that'll be two more wins, be five more power play goals, and it'll be four more points. That's the game plan. Bob, yes?
Yeah, let's just also mention that we're trying to maybe unpack something where we're going to get some listeners involved in the Pucker predictions.
Oh, yes.
We're going to look to find a way to maybe add that to the website, theunclepuckers.com. We haven't really fully figured it out yet. This is something Chris thought would be a good idea, if each week we kind of take one person who's got a prediction and they can add it. So now there'll be five of us doing it. So if anybody's interested, let us know you are. Just send us a note, guest on X or on the website, and just let us know if it's something that interests you before we start to figure out exactly how to do this. But we think it'd be really cool to get, you know, a fifth perspective.
Yeah, and we'll have it, you'll be our guest pucker predictor, yeah. And every week, and then so it'll be me versus Bob versus Dan versus Tony versus the listeners. You guys can all roll your points in together, yep. And we see who wins. So that could be
my money's on the listeners. Oh,
and then definitely. When the listeners win, they get to replace the number four.
Tony. That well, yeah, well, but, I like that.
You know, they become four, a new host.
They become the new host.
Yeah, you boot out whoever in number four.
It's like I
and
get
you get the listeners now the host. Exactly, like whoever it is.
So within four seasons, it's a brand new cast. It's, you know, just...
perhaps. Maybe we just rotate the fourth guy out. Constantly.
I like it. All right. Well, wherever you're listening to us, a like, a five-star review, a positive comment. Subscription to download helps us out.
Thoughts and prayers.
We appreciate that, Tony.
Just Catholic prayers, though. I don't
want helps us. You know. On that note, for Dan and Bobby, I'm Chris. We are the Puckers. We'll see you when we see you.
Thumbs up.
Bye-bye.
When we doing our drinking show?
I thought we were.
I told you, that's my Saturday show. I don't know why we got to plan it.
Fair enough.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!